All right, guys, welcome back. Welcome back to the Dragos Energy Podcast. Another episode. I am still in Mexico, and I wanted to give you guys a bit of an update. I am going to try to keep the podcast up to date from now on. I'm going to try to do 1 week, and even if I have things to discuss, I'll discuss them. If not, I will just kind of shush you in, clue you in on the things that have been happening for me this week. And let's get into it. It's been a very interesting week. I think at the moment, like, one of the greatest element of joy this week has been the fact that my Spanish has been improving to a point where at the moment I can say comfortably have conversations with people. There are definitely some words that I do not know, but I used to talk a lot of shit about how, like, all I need is a couple of months in a Spanish speaking countries and I will be able to speak this language fluently. And because the Latin core, it means that I can pick up a Latin-based language really easily, especially Italian or Spanish. And I am quite happy to say that I feel a little bit vindicated, because after having been in interactions, I've been doing a couple of lives. I don't know if you guys have caught them. I've been doing some lives where I'm learning Spanish, talking to people on Spanish, on TikTok, on YouTube. I can say that at the moment, my Spanish is coming along quite good. And I think, you know, if I continue down this path, I might be able to be super fluent and do comedy sooner, not later. Sooner than I had originally anticipated. Isn't that impresivo? Impresivo. Muy impresivo. See? So what I'm doing in table to enable this, I'm actually currently in the process of thinking of actually even doing a Spanish language podcast where I talk to myself in Espanol, because that's not crazy. But why not? If you're interested in a Spanish language podcast from Dragos, then let me know. Urgamente, let me know. And the other things that have been kind of going on at the moment is I'm currently still in the process of editing the 1 hour special that I'm going to be putting out on YouTube. I hope at the moment the deadline that I've kind of set for myself is to have it online by the 20th. And if I have it online by the 20th, then it means I'll be able to have it ready for most of the people that are going on some winter holidays. Winter, summer. I keep getting confused because the weather is so caliente aquí. But that means if I put up on the 20th, then a lot of people will be able to watch it at home. I spent a bit of time trying to figure out exactly which particular show. So everything is, I'm doing it. I did everything by myself. Okay. I filmed it. I edited. I got the sound. I'm doing everything. I'm doing the color correcting. I'm doing everything. So I've decided on putting on a show from London. One of the shows in November in London, because it was one of the shows that had the best audio. That is what, I'm looking for the show, but it's not here. That's where I got the new audio, microphones, the wireless microphones from DJI. Maybe I'll do a video about them in the soon. That's where I got these microphones, and they're really good sound quality. So it took me a while to kind of get the sound, the colors correct. I only had two cameras available at the time. I have the, if you're interested in what cameras I currently own, I have the FX30, which is a Sony that I had bought right before the shoot, and I have the A7C, another Sony, which is a full-frame camera. So I had these two cameras. I unfortunately, because the... Again, unfortunately, but kind of like fortunately, because the shows were too packed, I wasn't able to put one right in front of me. So I have one camera on the left and one camera on the right. So like you get the side views. But I think it gives you a little sense of authenticity. And I think it kind of re-adds to the fact that it tells a bit of a nice story that, you know, you can do everything by yourself. You know, if you put the work, if you focus, you can get everything done by the same time. Originally, I had planned to film it with some of the cameras of the Comedy Store, but then the problem with the Comedy Store was that it was no longer available. So then I just did it at a place where the City Comedy Club, where basically it's a club during normal days, and before the club, they have the comedy show. And I'm happy with the degree of... I had like basically four shows to select from in London. So I selected, I think, the one on the second day first show, because I think it had the best frame. One of the issues with the A7C Sony camera is that it doesn't act. Sometimes the focus, if you're using a focus length of like 85 millimeter or above, it's a bit funky on the focus. So when you turn away from the camera, it doesn't get the focus properly, which is weird. It's supposed to have great focus. But anyway, that's a little technical detail that basically fucked up some of the other footages. And I kind of went a bit crazy because I filmed two different angles. I tried different lenses. So I kind of like, it took me a while to kind of select the proper one, but I think I now have it. And I just now, like literally 30 minutes before doing this podcast, today, Thursday of the 15th, I finished kind of like doing the multi-camera angle on the editing. So that's very good. I also had the chance to go to a couple of shows in Mexico, and the scene in Mexico is very interesting. I think it's too small compared to the size of the city. You know, you'd expect it to be bigger. The English comedy scene, of course, not the Spanish one. You'd expect it to be bigger at the size of the country, but it's quite small, and it reminds me a lot about the early Berlin days where you have, like, shows in venues that are not ideal. You know, venues where, like, people are not really sure, is there a comedy show here? What's happening? Something that are open to the street. But, you know, it has that very nice feel of, like, you know, early on, you got to grind. And the traffic in the city is intense. Mexico City traffic is caótico. So at the moment I'm staying in the Coyoacán area, and most of the shows are happening around like the Roma Norte, Navarte. So basically it takes me about, because the shows are at 8 o'clock, it takes me about like 40 minutes to get there by Uber. And the Uber, if you're curious, it's about like 200 pesos, which is about like 10 euros, which obviously is a lot cheaper than Berlin. But it's still quite, I think it's more expensive than I thought it would be, I think. But I think like just prices are going up everywhere at the moment. I think it's not just Mexico City. I think even when I went to Bucharest, the prices for Ubers are quite high. I mean, look, honestly, even when I went to Serbia, I had to take a taxi. And that was like, I mean, maybe I got scammed a little bit, but it was like 30, 35 euros from the Nikola Tesla airport to the hotel, which is around the city center. So it is pretty crazy with the price at the moment, but it's fine. I'm not super complaining. I've been focusing on putting a lot more content on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, because Elon Musk said that he is going to enable creator monetizations on Twitter as well. So I'm trying to get help. I think out of all platforms, Twitter is the one that I have least following, because there's not really any incentive to create something on Twitter, because feels like a garbage bin on fire, right? So there's no really incentive to put stuff there, but I've started putting some videos there because they give some form of monetization. So far, I'm putting videos on Instagram, which pays you nothing. Instagram is like the most unfair platform for like non-American creators. Like, gives you nothing. Nada. So then I'm putting some stuff on Facebook. I'm putting some stuff on TikTok. And TikTok as well hasn't been particularly profitable. But all of these are just kind of like, you know, using them to get more audience and get people to know more about my comedy. Because at the end of the day, the most of the money comes from the live comedy shows, right? And with TikTok as well, I hear there's all this controversy going around at the moment. Might be get banned. It's getting banned for official devices in the US. Is it going? Is it not going? If it gets banned in the US, then it's going to be only European creators. We don't. No, but I have been spending less time on it, I guess. I've been spending more time on Duolingo. This is the app I'm spending more of the time on at the moment. And I think they've done a pretty good job. I was actually looking up. Let's have a look here. This is now a financial advice podcast. But let me tell you, I was actually thinking, because I'm using Duolingo so much, I'm looking it up on my phone. I was thinking of buying some Duolingo stock. It's also been fluctuating very heavily. I don't know what the fuck's happening with the stock market. I haven't bought anything like in terms of stock. Well, over a year and a half, and at that time I bought like some Disney, I think, because of the series, but I haven't checked up on it. I have no idea how it's looking, and it wasn't like massive amounts. It was like maybe like 400 or something euro, but yeah, sometimes I do try to stay financially educated. Well, that's one of the things I'm doing, but I'm just trying to figure out the thing I'm trying to figure out the most at the moment is the proper editing and how to figure out YouTube. I think YouTube is going to be an interesting direction for the future, because they pay the most. This is the reality. La realidad es que la YouTube paga el mejor. Is that how you say it in Spanish? El mejor? And then the situation, basically, the idea is try to figure out. I did AI jokes on YouTube. So that was very interesting. A lot of the hype was going around. I have not yet used the AI lens app, the ones that make you the photo, you know, like they give you the avatar things. I'm sure you've seen them over TikTok, over Instagram. They give you all this cool avatar-y looking thing. I have not yet given in to do it. I'm not giving any more of my data to anyone else, you know, at the moment, yes. But we'll see. I've been using the GPT-3 thing for writing jokes at the moment. And I think I still need to tweak it a bit more, because it doesn't quite... I mean, it's just normal. To be honest, it's kind of like just writing normal jokes. You have to write a lot of crap to get a couple of them. So there are a couple of fun ones that worked out. It was like, what do you call a Romanian ghost? And the answer was like, Bucharest. And some other ones, what do you call a Romanian that gets a good deal on a car? And it was a steal or something. So there's some interesting kind of like slightly offensive jokes that came out of it. But at the moment, I've wrote a couple of funny Mexican jokes. I'm going to try to write some more jokes here. I think one thing I'm discovering at the moment is that a lot of the material that I have, you know, mostly for Europe, does not quite translate here. Like, for example, or like people weirdly clench up when it comes to, I have some jokes about the war or like domestic abuse or like some just generally darker jokes have not... And I guess maybe the rooms were not the appropriate ones to do these jokes. I don't think like Mexicans would not appreciate dark jokes. But I think I just haven't had the chance to get the rooms. Let's talk a bit more about, I mean, this is a bit business. This is a bit shop talk. I don't know exactly if you care about this, but I'll tell you one of the biggest problems that I'm kind of having with finding a venue in Mexico. I have a venue. I'm doing a show on the 28th and 29th. Shout out Keenan. Thank you for helping me setting that up. But I've been reaching out to a lot of other venues. And I think the major problem here is that I think venues are much more predatory than they are in Europe. Because what happens here is a lot of the venues will insist on taking a percentage of ticket sales. And at the same time, they will insist on you using their ticketing system, which is a bad thing, because what happens is once they use their ticketing systems, then they have to pay taxes on those ticketings. There is a ticketing booking fee. And then when you get the money from them, which is going to be apparently in a month after the show happens, which fucks up your whole cash flow situation, then you have to pay taxes on that money. So you get double taxed on the situation. It's not really good. So a lot of times I prefer to use my own ticketing system, but a lot of companies here, a lot of venues here, they don't allow that. They're very inflexible. And plus, you have to remember, venues make money from selling drinks. And if your audience buys drink, you're bringing the audience there. You're adding money to their pocket. And then they want to take 30% out of your pocket, you know, if you're selling tickets. So that's why when these kind of like venues, they say like, oh, we'll take 30% of your tickets. I usually try to say like, oh, well, then I'll take 25% of your sales for the evening. And they're like, oh. But if you're putting your si tú pones tu mano en mi cartera, porque yo no puedo poner mi mano en tu cartera. See, it's like, if I can put my money, if you're putting your hand on my wallet, why can't I not put my hand on your wallet? So it is very unfair to artists, I think, here. And I think a lot of venues, it's not a good system if you're an artist, you know? Like, you get fucked sideways. This is what Kanye was talking about. Of course not. But, you know, it's still better than nothing, I guess. So I'm going to have to talk to a couple of venues, see if we can arrange these deals and find some flexibility. But usually a lot of times I prefer to pay a flat fee for renting a venue, because then I don't have a scaling cost. And it's important not to have your cost scale out of control, because the problem is that you have to spend on advertising. You just want to have like more predictable idea how money. Okay, enough of the business talk. But yeah, it's very interesting, because at the moment I'm figuring out how to do shows for next year, and at the same time I'm finding venues, but I'm also thinking, you know, I might have to raise the price of the tickets because the venues are raising the price of rent. And it's like a lot of, you know, like, it's just there. When is there time to write? When is there time for comedy? I think the reality of the comedian job is now that it's just all the time it's business, sorting out problems. And when is the time to write? You have to figure out, because otherwise everybody fucks you over, you know, if you're like, they try to take all the money. But anyway, enough at all about that. I'm coming back to Europe. I'm coming back to Europa. Sweet Europa. Freezing Europa. On the 17th, 18th of January. So the plan is I'm going to stay in Berlin until like probably the 28th of January. And then I'm going to go to Copenhagen and Aarhus. So I'm going to do some shows in Denmark there. Which means I have to come up with a whole new hour. Which I'm not too worried about. Because I already had like about 25, 30 minutes of material that I just need to kind of dust off. And at the same time, I can, like, you know, wing it with crowd work and get some more material. We're talking to people. But it's going to be an interesting year, because I am definitely going to be putting this whole 1 hour online. I'm going to chopping it up and going to give it to everybody for free. Okay, so if you want to buy me coffee, buy me kebab for all this effort, then please do so. But it is important to get the material out, because I think it's problematic if you do the same jokes over and over and over. You know, I try at the moment to kind of put a cap of like 2 years over the jokes. Some jokes I bring back because not everybody has seen all the jokes, right? And some of them... For example, I think I'll be bringing back some jokes from the first hour, because I just haven't had the chance to record them properly. I was going over it now, and just that recording is horrendous that I have for the first hour. I had to put it out because of the pandemic, but like the video is terrible, super dark. The sound is not ideal. There's this fridge zooming in the background. But it was a great reaction. I think that did help a lot. But I'm curious, I'm trying to figure out what kind of themes to kind of approach now to talk about, and see what kind of directions I can take my comedy into for the next year. And I think one very aggressive goal would be to kind of finish another hour by the end of the year and put that online, okay? Have like 1 hour per year, bang, bang, bang. Well, I will see if this is the right approach, because you don't know what the quality of the comedy is going to be like, right? And a lot of people are asking me, Dragos, when are you coming to the USA? Dragos, when are you coming to America, Dragos? When are you coming to America? Well, I got to tell you, it's not easy coming to America, because I got to, you know, I can come there. I got a visa for a tourist and I can come and perform, but I can't get paid. And that is una problema, see? But I would need an agency in the USA to kind of sponsor a visa to be able to do shows there. So if you know anybody in the USA that has an agency or anything of the sorts, hook a brother up so we can do some shows in the USA at some point. Canada seems to be a bit more manageable, but also, like, I think, I don't know exactly what would be the adequate avenues to perform in Canada. What cities in Canada should I visit? Are you in Canada at the moment? Let me know. Let me know. Also, subscribe to my channel. Ooh, if you have not yet subscribed, I'm putting this on Spotify and I'm putting it also on YouTube. So both options are there. I've got an e-message recently from Amazon Podcast asking me to upload my podcast on Amazon. It's interesting. I think, you know, I'm seriously thinking at the moment to do a bit more of a, you know, the things that I've been trying to do is, like, one is the AI thing, which I'm doing, and I'm going to do more of it because I think it's fun. And I think I can actually use AI to write some, to get at least inspiration, you know, use it as a tool to kind of inspire more jokes. But at the same time, I want to do a series on maybe YouTube or Patreon. I don't know. Would you guys use Patreon? Would you be willing to use Patreon? I've just been a bit confused because I haven't had enough time to kind of focus on all these things. But maybe Patreon is the way to go, because I also want to do a series about all the tools I use on a day-to-day basis, like my camera, my microphone, my hard drives, my microphones that are like, you know, the ones that are like, you know, the wireless microphone. That's it. If you're interested in more of the geeky stuff at the back ends of how it's coming along, come a day. But we'll see. And some of the things that I have been, my thoughts, I've been working with some thoughts in my mind. I was thinking, if I'm going to start doing stand-up comedy in Spanish, then I probably need to start a stand-up comedy, a podcast in Spanish, so I can practice my Spanish and potentially, you know, let it flow. And at the same time, maybe talk to people in Spanish so I can let release my rhythm, you know, so I can come up with the jokes. And in all honesty, I'm thinking at the moment, if I am, because after this podcast, after this 1 hour is going to be up, I'm going to go do a quick analysis to understand exactly what were the jokes that did the best. I'm going to understand exactly what I can write going forward. So I was thinking, if I could do kind of try to and manage to figure out the secrets of stand-up comedy, some of the basics, some of the rules, then I can transfer them to Spanish. And I was thinking of also doing one in Romanian, but if I'm going to do a stand-up comedy show in Romanian, I'm also going to practice my Romanian. Not that I cannot speak Romanian, but I think sometimes when I go to Romania, I do feel that sometimes when I'm in Bucharest, in Romania, or other parts of Romania, I feel like sometimes my Romanian has gotten a bit of an accent, or I need to just let it loose again to practice the words and feel the flow and feel the timing, and then to be able to do stand-up comedy in Romanian. Would you be interested in a podcast by moi, Dragoș in Română, in Romanian, or Dragoș in Espanol? Let me know what you think, because I think that might be very interesting. I think it would be cool to kind of do these podcast little talk sessions, and maybe I'll start a different channel. I'll start a YouTube channel for Dragoș in Romanian, Dragoș in Spanish, and I'll interview people in different languages. I mean, look, I think at the moment, with the way that I'm kind of, I'm feeling very confident this week in my Espanol. So for this reason, I'm even thinking, yeah, in the next 6 months, I will have mastered Spanish, and then I'm going to go and pick up Italian, because porque si no? Maybe I'll do one in Italian as well. Are you an Italian fan? Are you listening? Because if I learn Italian and if I do a podcast in Italian, will you come to my show? Will you come to my show? Because I'm thinking that after I learn Spanish, I'm going to learn Italian. Let's do all the Latin-based languages with the exception of French, because it sucks. Maybe I'll do French as well, but I just feel French is a bit more complicated. I'm not sure. But what do you think? Is this too ambitious? Is this not ambition enough? Some of the jokes I'm trying... I haven't quite written that many jokes about Mexico so far, right? Because I think... I don't know. It's a very... I feel like Mexico is a very complex country, okay? And a very, very complex country, and I'm getting to experience different aspects of it, okay? And I think at the moment, I'm not experiencing the real Mexico, because I'm in Mexico City, and I think a lot of the interactions that I have here tend to be with people from more like Chilango. Is that what I call it? Chilangos? I think it's not quite the real Mexican experience, because, you know, a lot of the people are, you know, more, they're like young professionals, they're like expats, and, you know, a lot of them are like less... less worried about dinero, let's just say that, right? So I think it's not quite the authentic Mexican experience. And I think this is one thing I liked about Singapore. When I was living in Singapore, you might know this, but you might not know this, but I used to live in Singapore for almost a year and a half. And at that time there in Singapore, it's also a very interesting kind of a country, because you have a very big expat bubble. But because of stand-up comedy, I was able to interact with the locals, okay? So I think here I haven't had... Of course, my girlfriend is a local here, but I haven't had a chance to interact with more locals other than the few interactions I've had at the open mics here. And I think there is a lot of potential for the scene in Mexico for comedy here. I just think the structure, it's a bit chaotic. You know, everything's a bit more chaotic here. And it takes a bit more time to kind of, you know, put it in a good shape. I think it's someone with the time and structure mindset should come here and kind of like help kind of like, you know, set some mics and use those mics to kind of, you know, I wouldn't say give an example, but use those mics to kind of, you know, form a foundation for like maybe more tighter time, you know, like people respect the light and that kind of stuff. Anyway, enough about the comedy shop. What have I done? I've just gone around the major neighborhoods of Mexico. I haven't gone. I have Coyoacan. We've kind of walked around. We've done a couple of photos here and there. We went to the Mercado. We had some tacos. I went to the Roma. I rocked around the Roma area. I went to the Polanco area. So again, this area, because I've also, you know, a lot of people have been scaring me about Mexico. It's not safe. It's not safe. Watch out. And some of the conversations I've had at some of the open mics, people are just sharing stories of how they bribe the police, you know, because the police apparently sometimes stops you if you're in a car and then they ask you for stuff and then you don't have it and you don't want to deal with it. So they kind of bribe them. So there's been a couple of those stories. So I'm not particularly sure the level of like how much are people exaggerating about the safety, how much are people exaggerating about the bribing of the police and like them stopping you for known reasons. But it's interesting. It does seem to be attract it's a lot of foreigners here. I think a lot of them, and I don't know, maybe it's because of the warm weather. And some people come here because of the just general, you know, touristic appeal of Mexico. The prices are okay. The quality of life. This is the thing about Mexico, because the prices are not as high as in Berlin. The quality of life in terms of apartment can be a bit better. But you still have to deal with some of the aspects of the traffic and like, well, yeah, it's interesting. So I think there are a lot of attractive things about Mexico City. And I think it's, you know, more and more developing. So we'll see how my relationship with Mexico City develops in the near future. With regards to Berlin at the moment, I'm thinking maybe it's time to move out of my shared apartment with my housemate and find a new apartment. But I just dread the experience. I think the advantage of living in Berlin is that I don't live in Berlin. You know, sometimes I go around and I do shows. And now that I have to think about apartments and stuff, it's going to be blah, blah, blah. But I'm looking forward to come back and do some shows, and I will see exactly how many shows we're gonna do in Berlin. I think I'm thinking of kind of slowing down on the open mics, and do more like just solo shows, like do 1 hour of just testing material and kind of write it down and see what happens. I think this is gonna be the plan for next year. Next year, this is kind of how things go. I mean, I was also pretty interested. I was able to stream on TikTok. I was streaming my Duolingo lessons on TikTok, which was also an interesting experience. It seems like TikTok at the moment is enabling a landscape view mode, so you can basically, people can see you on the full screen. But it is an interesting. It seems like we're in the middle of a fight for creators. Everybody's trying to get the creators to create on their platform. But we'll see. I'm thinking, I was also, a couple of people have asked me to help them write jokes and kind of help them do comedy. So I was even contemplating with the thought of creating some courses on how to set up a tour and how to write comedy and how to manage the social media stuff. So I'm just thinking, whether do I want to put some time into this and like sell some courses on how to do this? Or is this not the best way of using my time? Because on one hand, let me tell you the argument in my head. On one hand, if you kind of, you know, the best way to learn is teach, right? Because you kind of repeat the fundamentals in your mind, and then you kind of have a better understanding of how to write jokes going forward. But, you know, the framework is changing all the time. I do feel super disappointed. Okay, let's talk about this. I am very disappointed with the level of quality on the stand-up comedy specials on Netflix recently. I'll tell you what happened. I watched the Sebastian Maniscalco special and the Trevor Noah specials that were released this month on Netflix. And no, not holding back, they were absolute trash. Garbage. The worst thing they've put out ever. I think Trevor Noah special was garbaggio. And Sebastian Maniscalco, I couldn't recognize Sebastian. He seemed like he didn't want to be there. You know, both specials were terrible. I'm quite disappointed. I don't know what the fuck Netflix is doing. But I just feel as an opportunity for me to write better jokes. And I feel like, you know, it's kind of like when you make when you go into cahoots with these companies, you make a little pact with the devil and then you have to give them more, right? So it really affects your quality of the comedy. But I was very disappointed. I feel like I haven't seen a good comedy special since the... I'll tell you which one was the best comedy special I've seen. Ricky Gervais' special was super funny. And also Sam Morrill's special was quite funny, the one that he had on Netflix. But other than that, some of the other stuff that I've seen does not strike a chord with me. They're very lackluster. Lackluster, yeah? I hope you won't be saying this when you see my special. My special, what I've done is, like I said, I filmed it in London and there is a break in the middle. So I'm just editing around that break at the moment. I'm going to make that break. I'm going to make it a call to action to subscribe, donate, and so on and so forth, you know? But I think it's in a good, I think you have to kind of manage it in a way where people kind of consume it in a different way, because I think consumption patterns of content are changing. I don't know if people watch a whole 1 hour comedy special, if they prepare, or they're just like used to watching the small clips. The small clips have been doing well, the crowd work clips. And I'm looking forward to kind of getting a bit more stage time to be able to kind of churn more of those out, right? I still have tons of content, but I'm just kind of getting a bit tired of going through hours of hours. This is the thing, is you go through hours of you doing stand-up and crowd work. A lot of it's not good. And you're like, oh, I'm exhausted. But I think now with the 1 hour that I'm editing, it seems nice. I like it. I'm going to put it like in a cinema format. And I think people are going to enjoy it. Let's see. And then I'm going to start editing for TikTok and Instagram. No more YouTube shorts. I'm not doing it. I think YouTube shorts are actually hurting my channel. But anyway, I feel like I've blabbered on for quite a lot. So what time is it? It's almost 7. So maybe I've been blabbering on for like 20, 30 minutes. But the point here is like, let me know. Would you like for me to do a stand-up comedy podcast in Spanish and a podcast in Romanian? Would that be interesting? Should I try it out now that I have time? Maybe I just talk to myself for an hour in Romanian or in English and see where that takes us. Worst case scenario, we have some clips for the TikTok, TikTok, unless it gets banned and then, you know, or China collapses or what the world comes to. Did you guys see Elon Musk at Buddha Dave Chappelle concert show? Like, what the fuck was that? Like, what was he supposed to do? Elon Musk come up here and do a belly flop? Or what was the... I don't understand. And Dave Chappelle was like hating on the audience. Oof. People are losing touch with reality, bro. People are losing touch with reality. Hopefully, I'm not going to go into that direction, but maybe the secret here is actually not go to the US, because it seems like things are going crazy there. People are losing touch with reality. Reality. All right. Well, this is the end of the podcast, guys. Thanks a lot for tuning in. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I look forward to doing another one in the near future. Have a nice one. Bye-bye. Subscribe. Send me kebabs, coffees, everything. Bye.